Good evening and welcome to Computer Corner. We're here every Wednesday evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock here on 1420 WCOJ. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell, and I have my sidekick, Joe Dubler, with me tonight.
Again. Have my mic on tonight?
Yes, I have your mic on tonight, okay. Joe, so you can make your smart remarks.
Thank you.
I also have in the studio a very special guest tonight, Joe Misko, who is a security expert. And we'll give him a little formal introduction shortly. We're going to get into some news here that may be of interest to you before we get into our topic of the evening. IP version 6 is coming. We're going to have a whole new numbering system for the Internet. And that's probably going to mean some modifications to your WinSock and your computer. Your WinSock is what addresses the Internet. You can look forward to that change coming about. As a matter of fact, there are some new website addresses just being started up with those numbers. And your computer may get a modification to handle that in the near future. Mozilla is still in the news with Firefox and Thunderbird. Oh boy, Joe, Thunderbird is the word. Firefox is the browser of interest, and Thunderbird is the email. Firefox will replace Internet Explorer, and Thunderbird may replace Outlook Express. And these are some browsers that do not have the same vulnerabilities to attack.
It's easy for you to say.
Yes, that's for sure, as Internet Explorer and Outlook Express. And by the way, both of them are free downloads from Mozilla.org. Quicken has dropped the QIF file exchange format in their latest version of software. That's causing a lot of confusion, especially with users and accounting experts. They're reporting it makes it harder to exchange information until everybody converts over to the new QXF format. Intuit says the newer format will offer new features and is very robust. A prominent Internet safety organization and computer maker Dell Incorporated launched a campaign last Friday to help consumers fend off spyware, software that can cause sluggish computer performance and pop up ads, and secretly monitor activities of Internet users.
It's a secret.
Yes, we shouldn't talk about that anymore, right, Joe? The nonprofit Internet Education Foundation published video tutorials and tips for Internet users to keep spyware off computers and detect any spyware already installed on its website. That website is www.getnetwise.org. It directs visitors to dozens of free and commercial tools that make it easy to remove spyware. The Federal Trade Commission praised the new campaign. The FTC Commissioner John Leibowitz called spyware a growing and pernicious problem and promised that the agency will act against those who distribute it. Google has become the first tech heavyweight to tackle the daunting task of uncluttering computers by introducing a free program that quickly scours hard drives for documents, emails, instant messages, and past web searches. I'm not quite sure we need all this, but Google says we do. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need it, and I'm not going to go for it. We do have a real exciting news release here from Intel. They've canceled plans to release a 4 gigahertz computer microprocessor.
So depressed.
They said that it's going to rely on new technology to improve the performance of their chips other than speed. They previously announced plans from their strategy with the new chip numbering system to designate the enhancements. The Intel engineers are studying adding additional processing engines to the single chip and improving the efficiency and how chips interact with the rest of the system. That is interesting news because it tells us what's next in mind for the competition between Intel and AMD. We have tonight a very special guest, also a friend of mine for several years, and I've come to know that he has a very special vocation, and that is Joe Misko. Joe has a computer consulting firm that he works on computer security with various companies, and he's also affiliated with the McAllister Consulting Group and also CompuNerds, both of which are attacking computer security to try and make your computing much safer. So let's introduce our topic shortly here. I do want to give you a phone number to take down, because after the first break, we're going to allow our callers a chance to talk to Joe and ask him questions, and also ask Joe or I any of the questions, hopefully on security. But we will field any questions. And the phone number that you need to write down is 610-701-4294 or 610-701-4297. Those are the calling numbers. Don't dial them just yet, but write them down and have them handy. And when we call for open phone lines, you're going to want to call in. And when we do answer the phone, you will hear the show, and you're not on the air until we say, hello, what's your first name, and where are you calling from? Let's get to Joe and get him going here with a very exciting topic. Joe, what is Internet security?
Well, Gene, let me address the fact that you calling me a computer expert, that always concerns me, because every time I think of expert, I think of a drip under pressure. But the fact is, there is no such thing as a secure computer.
Well, we talked about that, and they do have a term, Internet security, and since we have that term, we have to know what the experts are trying to tell us that Internet security is.
Well, it being such a moving target at this point, you may be secure this moment and the next be totally vulnerable. So there's a whole process that you need to follow to bring your machine up to snuff and to be play safe on the Internet.
What kind of security are we talking about? What is the security supposed to do for a computer?
Well, security is supposed to keep people out. One of the concerns I have is that computers are often used not only to steal information, identities, things along those lines, but I'm really concerned about your computer being used to create a denial of service attack, and your computer with 1,000 other computers that have been exploited to attack sites like the White House or even my computer.
Oh, wasn't me, I swear.
How are computers affected by the various viruses and worms that are out there right now?
Well, there's a difference between a virus and a worm, a small technical difference. But computers are generally used for collecting information, which is why spyware is not a happy thing. I draw the distinction between spyware and malware, which is malware is the vicious stuff where identity theft is taking place. But spyware is being used, often fed to marketing organizations to aim particular information directly to you. You may like that. You may not like that. I don't particularly like people knowing what I'm doing. But collecting for industrial espionage computers, information can be stolen off of computers, as well as computers being used for the distributed denial of service attacks.
All right, I had a question, but you brought up something. Denial of service, what is that?
It's when so much information is aimed, or so many requests are aimed at a particular computer, that it can't respond to anything. So essentially, the machine grinds to a halt.
And this has been a very big problem on several occasions in the past.
eBay was brought down, our White House website, number of e-commerce sites were brought down a couple of years ago, and it continues. We run into it on a daily basis with the bad guys over in the Middle East.
Is that where most of this is coming from, the Middle East?
Middle East, China, and a number of other countries that don't like us.
How much of this do you think is coming from within our own country?
A good bit is coming from within our own country, but there are still folks in caves with satellite links, and they can't afford shoes, but they can work computers and bounce signal from satellites.
These are the people that are giving us the virus, worms, trojans, and spyware, I take it.
There are many, yes. In fact, there are governments that are intending to stop our e-commerce.
Do you feel that there are those abroad, meaning the Middle Far East, that are paying people to be here to do that within our own country?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's scary when you think about it. I call this computer terrorism. Is that a correct term?
Cyber terrorism, yep.
And we're being terrorized. If it isn't 9/11 terrorism that you can see a building coming down, we can feel our computers coming down with this terrorism, and we're all being terrorized.
Actually, Dartmouth did a study and validated that after every physical terrorism attack, there was enough chatter and attacks on the internet that directly followed. So there is a correlation.
What are the most common types of exploits?
Well, the one that's typically used is something called a buffer overflow. If you think of a computer memory, and the program that resides in memory is having segments. One segment is where code actually resides. Then there's an area called a buffer that may sit between another code segment. Now, one of the things that you learn when you learn programming is you can jump from one memory location to another. But what happens with a buffer overflow is information is sent towards the computer that would normally be stored in a buffer. But they continue to send information so that it overflows the buffer into the program segment following, knowing full well that there is going to be a jump, a go-to from one of the other program segments to a popular location that has been written over with a program.
We're talking to Joe Misko, who is a security expert and has been doing this for many years. We need to take a break, and we'll come back to our security topic, and shortly afterwards, we will open up the phone lines for your calls. We're back with Computer Corner. Heard every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. You're on 1420 WCOJ. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. I have my sidekick, Joe Hubler, here, and special guest, Joe Misko, who is our security expert. And by the way, we're not just talking about somebody that claims to be a security expert. We're talking about somebody that really does it. Joe has quite a background in engineering and commerce and all kinds of mathematics and physics and all that kind of good stuff. And he's worked on satellite data and all kinds of neat discoveries, including documentation of greenhouse gases. And he had a little stint with Commodore Business Machines. And he's even done some very important stuff with the GE website and the... what was that major network website, the NBC? They're not one of our affiliates, but it's important enough to know that he brought them online with their website.
But can he cook?
We know he can cook. He cooked the thing so secure that it is working very securely. Is that right, Joe?
Actually, yes. Putting www.nbc online was a lot of fun. The minute it was on, within 7 minutes, it was attacked by someone at the University of Maryland. And we tracked him down, got the keyboard dusted, and he got caught.
Speaking of tracking people down, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get into this, because I've known for quite some time that you're quite the expert at chasing people. And one of the most notorious persons that you've chased was Kevin Mitnick, who did quite a bit of damage a couple of years ago.
Actually, he ruined my Thanksgiving in 1994. I didn't sleep for about 3 days rebuilding the customer's internet gateway.
Well, he was finally caught, and they locked him up. Is that correct?
That's right.
What
kind of fine did they give them for that kind of stuff?
That was a little more than a fine.
Yeah,
he was
away for 5 years. It's either they, a lot of times you see on the news where they didn't fine him or they did fine him, but then all of a sudden it drops the screen. You never hear, what kind of punishment he got. It was 5 years, then, right? It was 5 years, a pretty sufficient fine, as well as as well as not being allowed to touch any computers until just recently.
Which means he can't even microwave a hamburger, technically, right?
And you were actually chasing him.
That's
quite commendable. Well, anyway, Joe is our security expert this evening, Joe Misko, and he's in the security business, and he does just this. So he's quite the person to have on here tonight talking about all this. Joe, what does an individual have to worry about? Why do they need to worry about security? Because you deal with a lot of big companies, but surely this is affecting individuals, the little people in their houses.
Well, as I was saying earlier, the fact is that people, especially people who have broadband access right now, their computers are able to be accessed unless they take certain precautions.
And those precautions are?
Well, one of the things is a firewall. And if you have broadband, I suggest a separate firewall on your computer and a broadband router.
So we're talking about a hardware firewall in the router, and we're also talking about a software firewall and software loaded on your computer.
That's correct.
Do you have one piece of software you'd like to recommend for the individual anyway?
You mean firewall-wise?
Firewall.
Actually, most of them are pretty sufficient. I do like, I finally like what Microsoft did with XP Service Pack.
Yeah.
It's a decent job, but until then it was Norton was good, and most of them were pretty good. It's usability that really is the major plus.
I have a question for you. I have a client who was telling Gene earlier tonight. She bought a firewall at my suggestion, and she calls me up 3 weeks later. Says, "Joe, my computer won't work." So I'm like, okay. So I try to talk her through some things on the phone to no avail. She brings it over to the house. I turn on. Her firewall came up and said, "You want AOL to connect to the internet?" She said, "No." And Norton Antivirus wants to update itself. He went, "No." She now pretty much locked everything with the exception of the firewall out. How do you avoid that when people? I mean, for instance, Internet Explorer has many parts of itself that go out on the internet. Well, the firewall window comes up, and sometimes I don't even know who is asking for access to the internet. How do you get around that with people who really aren't computer literate? They just want to use it.
That's why I was suggesting the belt and suspenders firewall on a broadband situation.
She's dial-up.
Dial-up.
So I don't have that as an option.
The only thing is to read it carefully and to try and decipher
right.
Call up customer service for that particular
vendor. That's Norton Antivirus. We all know what that's called. We've all heard of it.
That's right.
The program actually goes out and looks for the update called LU.
That's right.
Right? She had no idea LU was her Norton Antivirus.
That's right.
And she shut it off.
Shame on Norton and
it's like that with everything. I mean, her AOL, it wasn't AOL.exe that went out and looked for, I don't know what it was. I got into her list and she said no to every question that was ever asked of her. And I don't know how to get around that because I can't say, if it's AOL, let it go. Well, it doesn't come up and say AOL. I didn't know if you knew of a software product for the neophytes out there that might be a little bit more intuitive for them, like something that may have a list that AOL's okay, everybody knows that.
Well, it isn't okay.
Right.
It isn't okay
AOL
software. Anything that is complicated is susceptible to the software overflow. So you need to keep yourself updated software wise. But the answer is there is no good answer.
I wasn't sure. I couldn't find it.
Thank you.
Let's call for open phone lines if anybody has any questions. 610-701-4294, 610-701-4297. If any of our listeners have questions for any of the panel here, Joe, myself, or Joe.
Joe 1.
open phone lines. Give us a call. 610-701-4294, 610-701-4297. We're ready to take your call, and while we're waiting for calls to come in, we'll talk some more, but as soon as we see the light, we'll try and get your call in right away. We're talking to Joe Misko, a security expert, who has been chasing the hackers for quite some time, and he's quite good at what he does, and he's quite good at locking computers up to keep the hackers out. And he should be quite good for you if you follow his advice in locking your computer up. And we talked about the antivirus. We just talked about the software for firewalls, the hardware for firewalls. But Joe, I know there's something else they should all do. And just tell us just how important it is that everybody should upgrade to the critical updates that Microsoft has released and why they have to do it.
Well, I had explained about the buffer overflow problems that most exploits take advantage of. And most viruses and worms use, well, most what are considered viruses nowadays are worms. There is a difference. Worms go from one computer to the next. The virus just replicates itself on the same computer and tries and hides. But updating your software with the critical updates will fix those buffer overflow type exploits. And that's why you need to do that. So a firewall, antivirus, and an antivirus tool that reads the file system, reads ingoing and outgoing mail. You want to play right on the internet and be a good citizen, and by doing that you also clean things on the way out.
How about the instant messenger stuff?
Yep, instant messenger. There are a lot of tools out there too that are called proxies that are smart and know what a good computer programs talk to each other with their own language. It's called an application layer protocol.
Me too. My language is cursing.
There you go.
I usually talk to our computer.
Absolutely. Well, what you want to do is you want to avoid offending the other program by making sure you put something between it that filters improper commands.
We're looking for your calls and your questions. Give us a call at 610-701-4294, 610-701-4297. And while we're waiting for the calls, we're going to take another short break. Things are kind of funky with computers, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We have our security expert, Joe Misko, here on Computer Corner. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. We're talking about computer security. We're looking for your calls and questions, 610-701-4294 or 610-701-4297. We have open phone lines. We're waiting for your calls. And while we're waiting, we'll continue to talk about security. We have all kinds of good stuff to talk about.
What are the lack of?
One of the things that I mentioned in the little news blurb at the beginning of the show is IP6. Joe, is that going to solve any problems for security?
Well, I think it'll be a significant boon to the security world. IPv4 was never intended. By the way, that's the version of the protocol that we use now.
That's the internet address that gets translated to your domain name, like 127.0.0.1 or whatever the address might be. Some of them are more complicated in real life, but it's groups of the digits of four groups of three numbers. And
you're making a nosebleed.
We're going out so far with numbers. One of these days, we're going to have some more area codes or go beyond 10 digits, I guess. But the internet is going faster than that, and we need those extra digits. But it's also going to give us the security. And I guess we need it for just the security as well as the addresses.
Well, with the current version of IPv4, there is no security embedded in it, and that's really the problem. So the applications have had to handle the security themselves. With V6, besides having enough address space to be able to put one of those numbers on every grain of sand on the planet.
But they need to do that.
Well, actually, the DOD wants to make sure that they put an address with every pair of boots that they have in stock.
Can we expand that to dust particles and what?
You got it. There's enough address space to handle.
How many special numbers is it now?
The galaxy. It's 128 bits. Is really it. So you can mix that up into any set of numbers you want.
Yeah.
But V6 has native what is called IPsec, which is secure IP.
We have our first caller. Let's bring our first caller online. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Eric from Downingtown.
Eric from Downingtown. Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a question. If you find that you don't have a choice and have to buy something over the internet and put a credit card number in, is there a way to, how do you, like, maybe search your computer afterwards to remove, like, all cookies and all like all information pertaining to your credit card. So if a hacker gets in, they won't be able to access that.
Right now, are you running? Are you running Windows XP?
ME.
Oh, you're running Windows ME. Well, they're in your internet configuration on the Internet Explorer. You can clean up not only locally stored files, but all of your cookies. So if you pull down on, I believe it's Tools Options up at the top, you'll, I think the second item down, you can clean your files. You can also clean your cookies. So you can clean all of that information off. The most important thing for you to do after you do a transaction on the Internet, though, is to shut down Internet Explorer and then bring it back up.
Delete the cookies, then shut down, and then bring it back.
That's correct.
Right. And if you have a high band connection, though, shutting down Internet Explorer doesn't necessarily take you off the connection. Should they actually reboot their PCs?
No, they don't need to do that. Okay. They just need to close the program.
Cool. Right. Did that answer your question, Eric?
So you take the cookies out before you close the Internet Explorer?
Yes.
All right. How long do you use Netscape?
Netscape also has a similar tool to clean up cookies. I don't remember exactly.
No, and
7.2 just came out, and I can't remember where it is. Things get changed around, but it is in there. You can go ahead and do it. They've made it a little more public than they used to because people are more aware of it as you are.
Great question, and that's something everybody needs to learn. It's a pain in the neck to do it, but if you want to be secure, make your transaction and immediately get rid of your cookies, and you should be very relatively safe.
Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Eric.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we had a caller with a great question, and we have open phone lines. If any of our other listeners have questions, 610-701-4294, 610-701-4297. And when you call, when we recognize you, we'll hit the button, we'll hear the station, and then we'll tell you when to go ahead. But give us a call with any of your questions. We have another caller. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Joe from outside of Westchester.
Now we got three Joes.
Oh, gosh.
Don't worry, Joe 2, Joe 3.
You're going to a family party.
I'm a gentleman that uses adaptive equipment so that I can hear the computer due to my lack of sight. So this is where I'm coming from. And I had a couple questions for you.
Sure, go right ahead.
One is, to what degree should people expect their internet provider to be of assistance with these problems in terms of being able to run whatever software you have for these purposes, or two, to be the provider of said software, and three, to keep such problems off its site?
Okay, Joe?
Okay, I think you're asking, and tell me if this is correct, that you have this feeling that your internet provider should make sure that what is coming to your computer is free of viruses?
Right. I'm always a little confused. I'm a little confused as to where they fit into all of this, because when you hear the commercials between vendors, one will say, well, we provide this, and we, and other, you know, they will have varying policies in what they provide and what they don't.
Now, is your internet connection a dial-up connection?
Well, I don't have it until I'm getting my computer fixed. I had Comcast for a while, and since I have the box that enables you to connect.
Cable modem.
The cable modem, I suppose I'll stick there, but I'm open-minded as to where I'm going to go.
Yeah, Joe, what I would suspect, if you're going to get a broadband connection, most of them give you a reasonably raw connection to the internet. And I always suggest putting a router in between your cable modem or your DSL modem and your local network, or just to your computer, and run a firewall on that router. you cannot expect that they're going to do the job. And even if they say they can, they'll try their best, but that's about it. Most vendors, most internet service providers are offering spam, anti-spamware,
pop-up blockers,
things along those lines that you certainly should use if you can. If you're running one of the later operating systems and have updated them, you will have most of that in it.
Well, I'm hoping for better luck with having updates. I have a friend that knows this stuff better than I do, going through and fixing up the computer, and I may come to someone to just make sure that I've got the right, not software, but just the right cards in the machine, because I found that I was getting knocked off more than I should.
That was with the dial-up connection?
With the Comcast connection. And
Comcast, you should not get knocked off unless you have a loose connection or a malfunctioning equipment. That should never happen.
Poor people, they would say, is your modem lit? I can't tell.
Making a good point there.
I would drive them. Some of them would be trained into, what directions to tell me using the keyboard as to what to do.
Right.
But when they would say click this or click that, well, is it a left click or a right click? All right. And they deserve combat pay with me.
I can see that. I mean, I can see myself very good at helping people over phone, and I can just imagine the problems I would have trying to help you out, because it's not something, I deal with. So it's like, yeah, I can imagine how hard that would be.
Not only which light, but what color.
Yeah, I'm thinking, that would be rough.
Yeah, the tech support guys do actually deserve a medal for that, and I don't know any good easy fixes for you.
Well, first get the machine fixed, and then we'll
where
in the home to put it in and all that.
What actual operating, what version of Windows are you running?
I have 98, but I want to go up.
I would highly suggest, as Joe was saying earlier, to go to XP. Make sure all of the Microsoft Windows updates, especially and including Service Pack 2, are installed, because it really does a good job of pop-up blocking. It does it has a very rudimentary, very functional firewall in it, and they have patched a lot of the buffer overrun issues that have gone on for a few years now. They've all been pretty much fixed in XP.
I know a lot of people do like it. The adaptive equipment has to catch up to it. Some people are starting to use it, but most people I know work in the.
I do know that Microsoft is committed to helping people with your issues, and they're working very, very hard to try and help you out.
I'm challenging my friend a little bit that maybe we should go to Mozilla, but I asked her if it was a better than the Baltimore Orioles manager.
She
didn't get my question. Oh, well, but you do.
The world doesn't know about Mozilla, and it's becoming more and more popular, and it probably will as time goes by, because it is an alternative.
Well, that was the original name for the Netscape browser. It was Mozilla from the beginning, and it's just continued.
I knew I remembered the name. I knew, I've heard of that before.
That's where it's from. That was
years ago.
Okay.
And now they have Firefox, and they claim it to be very well, very good. I do have it on my computer, and I like it.
It
works very smooth.
I like their products.
And it's free. That's the greatest part.
Yep.
Well, thank you for letting me come on.
Thank you very much for calling, Joe.
And I will be voting early, but I will not say how often, because I don't want to go make a mistake in that area.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right. You take care.
Thank you for calling, Joe.
Thank you.
We need to take another break, and we'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Computer Corner here on 1420 WCOJ. We're coming to you every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Gene Mitchell. I have Joe Hugler as my sidekick, and I have a very special guest tonight, Joe Misko, a security expert who chases the hackers. He can also, if you listen to his information, help you protect your computer with all kinds of security. And as Joe said earlier, there's no such thing as security. We attempt security. Is that correct, Joe?
No, that's right, James.
We attempt it. We try to lock our computers down, and Joe knows how to do it, and he's trying to give you the information. So far, we've talked about viruses and worms, Trojans, and the need for a firewall if you have a broadband connection,
buffer overrun.
Joe, how important is a firewall if you only have a dial-up connection?
You're still vulnerable even, with a connection to a dial-up. Obviously, they can't do as much because your bandwidth is not the same and as quickly. But if they're off, you're off. When you're off, you're off.
So everybody needs a software firewall for dial-up.
It's a good idea, and I would suggest it.
You know, you said earlier that if you had XP with Service Pack 2, that that's probably enough firewall for a dial-up user.
Absolutely.
I agree. But
the people without Windows XP Service Pack 2 still have a firewall, but it's not turned on.
That's right. It's not turned on, and it's very difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating.
It has caused more problems than I think it's helped.
If you install Service Pack 2, it's turned on as soon as you install Service Pack 2, which means you don't have to deal with it to the same extent. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it will ask the appropriate questions. But as Joe pointed out, some of the questions are a little muddled.
Yeah. I mean, when I have to think about what it's asking me, and I'm the guy there helping it, that's scary for the average end user.
What I found is if you go to most of the vendor sites, though, they'll give you warnings for software. For instance, if you go to HP site and look up OrCompact, it's the same company now, but they will give you a little what to watch for when you upgrade the Service Pack 2. Mm-hmm. And those goofy little questions, are you running AOL, are you running Logitech updaters, and different updaters that will force the question.
Probably a lot like, just that one's a great, for instance. I mean, I had a friend of mine call me, and he was like, oh, I get this Logitech, what is it? I'm like, well, you have any Logitech equipment. It's just now like a storm.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people realize that Logitech's a brand of something they don't own. They think it's something Logitech. It sounds so high-end, like it must be important. It's a mouse. I mean, it's a mouse, or
remember, Verizon was offering cameras with DSL.
Right.
We have open phone lines. You can call in your questions to 610-701-4294, 610-701-4297. If you'd like to ask Joe a question, we're here, and the phone lines are open at this time. And Joe, while we're waiting for our next caller, let me bring up something that you and I talked about before we started, and that is we all know that antivirus software is important to have on your computer, but if they don't turn it on and don't update it, they're up a big creek, aren't they?
Absolutely, because on a daily basis, if you go to there are a few sites out there. One that I really like is BugTrack. It's a BugTrack mailing list, and it lets you know about all the vulnerabilities almost real time as people discover them. They'll send a message into BugTrack. And on a daily basis, between 10 and 15 messages about vulnerabilities that are new.
Is this a website that users should check on a daily basis, or go to when they have a problem?
I wouldn't suggest that it's for regular users. It's really for people who are in the business. But eventually the vendors will have these problems fixed. And typically the big virus or big worm attacks happen 6 months after the vulnerability was found.
I've found
and
that.
Then usually Microsoft or the other software operating system vendors had it fixed for a couple of months
and nobody ever updated.
That's right.
One of the things that I'm seeing is computers that are coming in that have antivirus software, good antivirus software. It's up to date. The subscription hasn't expired yet. And it's turned off. And they claim that they didn't turn it off.
I've seen it too.
It definitely happens, Gene. There are some very, very clever morphing worms and viruses and exploits that actually wedge themselves between the antivirus software and the operating system.
And you can uninstall the antivirus software, reinstall it, enable it, and as soon as you reboot, it's off again.
That's right.
I had a chase that didn't end up in the registry, but I was trying to hunt it down by hand.
There are a number. I don't even trust antivirus scanning, you know, any single antivirus scanning software when I'm scrubbing a system. I usually use besides using Norton, I'll use Trend Micro's scanning software. I'll use just about everything.
Actually, I've seen Norton antivirus miss viruses,
yep.
McAfee miss them,
yep.
And Trend Micro find them.
Yep.
I've seen the other case where Trend Micro missed them, McAfee missed them, and Norton found them.
Yeah.
So they're finding them at different times, and it really keeps us going.
They all have a slightly different approach to the way they look at things.
Right.
So
if it morphs a certain way, Norton may miss it, but McAfee may catch it. I mean, it's just...
See, the virus itself, we were talking about buffer overflows. The buffer overflow is actually the payload to the exploit. Now, that payload can be different and have a different signature, and one will catch that signature and the other won't. So you need to check it.
Joe, I got to tell you something. I didn't get a chance to tell you before the show, but I just worked on a computer yesterday and today. And the customer brought it in and says, I have 121 viruses and I can't get them off my computer. So I wrote it down on the sheet and I finally got to his computer. And what I do is I take the hard drive out of his computer and hook it up as a slave on my machine that has updated software so that it can check the drive as it comes up in case there's a bootsector virus. Well, anyway, I started the scan at about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, approximately, and I guess it was around 5 o'clock that it finally finished up. Would you care to take a guess how many infected files that I found? This should really go into the Guinness Book of Records, but I couldn't believe it.
I don't know. My parents did a real good job and got themselves infected with over 3,800 files infected. So, but if it took that long, Gene, you've got to be three times that.
Yeah.
Well, the final total that Norton reported was 12,880 infected files.
That was a good guess.
How many of those files were different virus, or was it all one virus?
There was a half a dozen different viruses.
I never find it being one virus either, which is, I always thought it was odd. You catch one, you catch one, but can you go out and find more?
No, they're usually the same exploit with a different payload.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. I'm just curious. Every time I have a virus program or a virus on my system, I've never had it be one virus. Is there nothing? Or is like three or four of them out there, and I always find it odd.
Norton deleted automatically the great majority of those, and then it asked me what I wanted to do with the ones that it couldn't delete, and of course I went to quarantine, and it did quarantine them, and after quarantining them, I said delete afterwards. But it was incredible. I just can't believe how could he have gotten so many on there?
It's
so easy.
He
must have been like the Energizer Bunny that just kept going and going and going with the infections and kept using his computer, and he had no idea. And it's just the more he used, the more he infected. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah, my guess is he got kicked to one of the sites out there that just keeps on pumping them with ActiveX. And he was probably wrestling with pop-ups and everything. And after that, he should have suspected that he had a problem.
I love it when I get an email addressed to me from me.
Yeah.
And of course, Norton says it has a virus in it. I'm like, okay, well, I know I don't have the virus, and I know I didn't send that. But I end up taking my whole mailbox. Everybody thinks, somebody out there, just so you know, has my address, my email address in your address book. You have the CLES or whatever happens to be virus.
I've had
2 weeks later, I'll find someone says, "Oh, well, it was me."
I've had people get very upset. They've called me up and said, "You have just sent me."
Right, they don't understand that
they literally flipped out on me, and they just don't understand that it's a stolen address from somebody's address book, and
it's not real smart. It'll send you an email from yourself.
That's right.
Well, if you ever get an email, you can't necessarily accuse that person because
hackers
have a way of hiding their real address.
I don't know of a virus that doesn't. I've never gotten a virus from somebody who is actually that person who had it yet.
Well, there are two fields in a message envelope that you need to recognize. And one is the real from address. The other is the reply to address, which is the one that you see. And that's the way most of the spoofs happen. They use the reply, which overwrites, right? It doesn't really overwrite it, but it's what shows up as the from address,
right?
And it's not real.
Right. I always tell people the best antivirus software you can buy is you.
That's right.
You are the number. I mean, you get an email from somebody you don't know about a subject you don't care about. There is absolutely no reason to open it.
With an attachment, you don't open it. You just make it go away.
Have you ever received an attachment of PIF and actually wanted it? Did anybody ever spend any? I mean, so many viruses send out that are a PIF extension. I've never seen anything other than a virus. I would think that would be a dead giveaway, right? There,
that's right.
But that's
how people have caused part of the problem because everybody likes to pass all these messages around, so people got used to opening messages that are meaningless. The best thing you can do is if you are not expecting the email and if it's from yourself, delete it.
Or
don't open it.
Or if you read it. Or if you actually are sending email to yourself, get a link.
Well, anyway, we're talking tonight to Joe Misko, who is a security expert who has chased down the best of hackers, the worst of hackers, if you will. And kids, because that's where it starts. Parents, your computer should be where you can look over your shoulder and see the computer. We are running out of time, so we have to watch the clock here as we wind things down. We've had a great time tonight, lots of good information, good news, and good interaction. And Joe, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show tonight and helping us out with helping our listeners with all this good information. And maybe again, we can get you on the show another time, maybe a variation of the topic. And I've been impressed by what you had to tell everybody, and hopefully everybody is listening tonight. We're on our final countdown. This is Computer Corner on 1420 WCOJ, Coatesville, Westchester. We'll be back next Wednesday night from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We thank you for tuning in and being with us tonight.
Have a good night.